with the first pick in the NBA draft.
I know I'm ready for this moment. It's just about going out there and making the most of it. Double OT, we coming for the trophy. See, it's
courtside, I kick it by the nosebleeds. Everybody knows me. Every year I watch the draft and seeing the number one guy go by, I wanted to be in that person's shoes. I put a word,
put a word. Oh my goodness! Oh, is that pretty? A human highlight reel. We don't do complaints.
We are live from New York City. The city that never sleeps is wide awake tonight. We are in the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, site of the NBA draft. It'll be tonight on ABC and ESPN. And we are here on the red carpet, friends. The prospects are entering the arena as they wait for their names to be called tonight. Welcome back to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols. I'm still joined by Richard Jefferson. Nick Friedell is going to be joining us in a while. Clinton Yates will be joining us. But look who we have already. One of the prospects has stopped by our set, Evan Mobley. And Evan, first of all, welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And I want to just show the people just how good you are. Everyone, take a look at this.
Some things people don't know about me, I can actually backflip and I can juggle as well. I always wanted to do it, kept practicing. I don't really celebrate too much. I just like screaming every single time I dunk. Favorite dessert, anything chocolate. I like my mom's chocolate chip cookies. She makes them fire chocolate chip cookies. The best follow I ever got was probably when Drake followed me. I didn't really think it was like a real account. And then I saw the blue check, so I was like, oh shoot, Drake followed me. I like the little TikTok dance where you go like this, that one, and then the whoa.
Evan Mobley, that was tremendous. And I'm sorry, I have to start with Drake because this is a Drake show. We have to start with Drake. Please take us through. We just heard you say that you were like, is this a real account? Is it really following me? He's one of the biggest artists of the decade. What did you think? And have you spoken or texted or anything with him at all?
A lot of people told me to text them and all that, but I just kept my distance. But
okay.
When I first found out, I was like super shocked, super surprised. I thought it was like a fake account acting like it's Drake. But when I clicked the profile, it was him. I was like, oh my God, that's crazy. So I was just like really in shock like when that happened.
Yeah, now Drake shocks a lot of people around here often, but... You know, one of the things I want to talk about is, you know, the young players, you guys are so advanced. You guys are so ahead of the game, if you will. And you decided to make your announcement with an NFT called League Bound. Where did you come up with that idea? How's it been going? Are you excited about it? Like, just take me through that process.
Me and my family, we just seen it going around recently. And we talked about it with my agent and all of them. And we got to set it up. And we wanted to be like one of the first people to do it. So we put it out there and it went well. The whole process was good and I really enjoyed it.
That's awesome, man.
It's so cool to see all the other avenues that guys have now compared to when you in the Stone Age got drafted.
Yes.
So much better.
It's so much better.
Of course, the main thing is the main thing, basketball. I want to get to a quote from your college coach at USC, Andy Enfield. Here is what he told the LA Times. Quote, Evan is the most unselfish superstar we have ever coached, ever. He's going to have a bright, bright future in the NBA. The one thing about Evan Mobley is he is a flat-out winner. So first of all, Andy, doing you proud there, right there. But why do you think he said those particular things about you?
I feel like he just could really read me and read me as a player. He was a great coach. I love playing for him. I try to be as unselfish as possible, just make the best plays as I see inside the game. But I'm just glad that I went to USC and glad he coached me, and he was a great coach.
Yeah, no, I had a great opportunity to watch you at USC and to cover some of your games. What do you think, because you, what do you think is your best skill? Like, if that was the thing that you were like, hey, this is what I'm going to hang my hat on, and then I'm going to develop everything else, because that's what, you know, your career is about. What do you think your best skill is coming into this draft?
Definitely my defense. I'm very long and agile, so my defense, I feel like it coming into the league is going to be very prominent. I'm going to take all the challenges that I can, show my shot blocking ability and all that. So I feel like my defense is definitely one of my best attributes coming in.
Okay.
And when you look up to players as you were growing up, I know there have been some great defenders that you watched. Was there a particular guy that you tried to model yourself after?
There's a lot of guys that a lot of people compare me to, such as Anthony Davis, Chris Bosh, Giannis, KD, all of them.
I mean, those are good names.
Yeah, those aren't terrible names.
Yeah, those are great names. Good. But I just try to be my own player, my own unique style. So I don't really try to compare and contrast with all those other players.
The one question, just from knowing you and watching you and your family, and a lot of people might not know this, but you played at USC with your brother. Your dad was one of the coaches there. That's a security that you're able to have. There's no doubt about your talent, but there's security there. What is it going to be like to go and do this journey somewhat on your own? Obviously, you still have a great support group, but you won't have your brother to ride home with and to live in the dorms, and you won't have your dad after the film sessions, even though I know your dad's going to watch every game.
Yeah.
Are you excited about that journey, kind of stepping out on your own?
Yeah, definitely. I've been to a lot of places. Basketball taken me to a lot of places, out of the country, China, Greece, a lot of places without them. So I feel like I'm pretty prepared, well set. I have a good base behind me, so I feel like I'm prepared for the league.
See, this man has answered this question. Did you answer that question before?
Yeah, he knows.
That people don't understand that there's a ton of prep for these questions in the draft night. These could be the difference between going first or sixth.
But being able to do what he just did, which was answer you well, give you look
perfectly.
Polished, that is
perfect.
Its own skill, right?
Yeah, that's a USC answer. That's not an Arizona answer. Mm. That's the difference. That's the difference. I know.
Pac-10 operation there. What do you think is going to be success for you as a rookie? Because by definition, if you go to a team at the top of the draft, with a few exceptions over the years, you're going to a team that is looking for a lot of help, right? I mean, it's not necessarily going to be smack dab in the middle of a championship situation. So what to you is going to be success your first year?
There's a lot of teams out there. I just want to be in the best situation, best fit. I'm just really happy, just excited with the whole entire process that's going on right now. Mm-hmm. So I'm just trying to enjoy every single bit of it right now.
Well, look, there's a lot of people talking about you going in the top three in one of the richest drafts we've seen in a long time. Our draft expert, Mike Schmidt, says there's three number one picks at the top here. So you kind of can't go wrong no matter what order you go in. And you can't go wrong with that outfit. Before we let you go, we have got to discuss this look. You look fantastic.
Amazing.
Please break down your favorite parts for me.
Well, actually, I seen this fit a long time ago. I actually wanted to wear it possibly to a prom, but COVID canceled all that.
Right.
So I love the color of the fit and inspiration where it came from. And I just chose that, like, the NBA draft would be the perfect place to show it off.
The Tiffany blue is amazing. I just want to know this because, look, respectfully, who is the third best dressed person out here right now? It goes you, then me. Who is the third best dressed? I think I might see him.
Possibly Jalen Suggs. I like his fit a lot.
Okay.
It's kind of sparkly.
Okay.
Yep,
he is right nearby. Yeah, we see.
And the pin on your lapel, that before we let you go, on the other side too.
Yeah, I got a little pin on this side and this side. Little jewelry everywhere.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you're sparkling. We love it. We're going to watch you sparkle tonight. Evan, thank you so much. We're so thrilled that you are here. Best of luck tonight.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about Jalen Green. He and I sat down yesterday. He is, of course, a G League graduate now. We talked about the talent in this draft class and, of course, his short shorts. Take a look at our conversation.
Jalen Green crossing over. Oh, Jalen Green spikes it above the rim.
So experts are calling this the best draft class since 2003. For people who don't know at home, 2003 was LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony, mm-hmm. Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh. What do you think?
Three-pointer to end the third quarter goes down by Jalen Green.
I think so, too. I think this is a really good draft class. There's a lot of talent. I think the whole class is loaded all the way through. So it's going to be crazy.
You played in the G League bubble. How do you think that prepared you to get to the NBA?
I feel like it was a step ahead of college or anything else. I mean, overseas is the same as being pro, but the game is just different over there. Just learn how to be a pro on and off the court early.
What NBA player are you most excited to go up against?
I think Ja Morant is probably the most exciting player that I'm trying to play. Just because that's my bro, he's like supported me since high school, and he's an exciting player. I think I'm an exciting player. Both high flyers, so it's gonna get real.
You did start a trend in the G League bubble, the very short shorts.
Yeah.
Are you bringing that to the NBA? America needs to know.
Yes, I am bringing that to the NBA. I need the smallest pair. They had like a 33, and I was like, this is still not small enough. Like, I need like a 30 or 30, 29 or something like that.
Did you like tailor it at all? Safety pin it up? What did you do?
I wore two tights. So I wore one padded and one regular, and then I just tucked my shorts underneath. So we figured it out.
Who is the best player in this year's draft?
I am.
Do you think that you should go number one?
I think I should.
Did you tell the Pistons that when you visited them?
I did, and I showed it in the workout too.
What was your workout with Houston like?
It was really good. I got to see what their offense was like, shot the ball well. I think it went really well.
Mock drafts do have you pegged there to go to Houston. How do you think you could fit in with that franchise and give it a lift after it had a really difficult season?
They already got like young talent. They just gotta put it all together on the defensive side. They just gotta really lock in. I think I come in with a defensive mentality, and I'm always gonna give it 110% on both sides of the floor. So I mean, I think I could turn it up there, possibly.
Maybe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the last three guys to win Rookie of the Year, none of them went one overall. Mm-hmm. So even if you don't end up going number one overall, what is your feel about what you could do in your rookie year and whether you could go out and win that award?
I think it's possible. I think that's a goal of mine coming into the league. First goal is to go to number one, but the second goal is to get Rookie of the Year.
From one Jalen to another Jalen. I love it. We now welcome Jalen Suggs to The Jump. You were with us just a couple days ago from the top of the Empire State Building, and now you kind of have the Empire State Building look. Would you mind, sir, getting up and giving us a little spin model? Because this ensemble deserves a little extra attention.
That shot with the lights.
Look, that is
don't,
just...
no, don't stand in front of me. Stand in front of my cat.
I'm joking.
Look at Sean.
I love it. And the shoes. I got to point out the shoes as well. Monogrammed. The whole look is incredible. So let's just start there. What inspired this? And did you like look at past draftees to figure out what you wanted?
I wanted something unique, something that, nobody's really done yet. It spent a couple weeks, going through different designs and materials. But once I saw this one, I knew it was the one. And, it sparkles. I wanted to shine on draft night.
Uh-huh.
And, I think they did a great job of it.
Okay, look, you've been shining for a long time. Finally, we got to watch you play in the NCAA tournament, after not having one last year. And I just want to know, what was that tournament like? What was that tournament run like? Like, I had the pleasure of losing in the national championship game, so I understand that pain. But take us through that experience. What was it like? How did that get you ready for this upcoming draft and this year?
It was an amazing run, with amazing people there at Gonzaga. We were a family. And, I've always dreamt of playing in March Madness, being on the biggest stage,
right?
And being in the biggest moments. And, I got to do that.
Yeah.
And, it was a blessing. It was so much fun. I learned and I grew.
Yeah.
From the loss, from all the games, and just the experience in being there. So couldn't be more thankful. No regrets about that decision at all.
Well, losing the final of the NCAA tournament, you could turn out to have a 15-year-plus career, win a title, be in four NBA finals, and then come sit on a set
not
like
a
this
resume.
One day.
So no, it's not you, like look, man. Look, this is about you. It's not you, Dad.
I'm just saying. You also have some company here, though, because you and your Gonzaga teammate, Corey Kispert, both projected lottery picks tonight by ESPN. Just how cool is it to be able to share a moment like that with a teammate, a brother who you've been with so much?
It's the best. I joke around with him all the time, and I tell the story. Corey didn't talk to me for about the first 3-4 weeks I got to campus.
What?
Just trying to gauge, who I was.
Right.
Was it going to be the high recruit who comes in and, just doesn't care and does what he wants? But from then, we've been inseparable. We're roommates on the road, and, he's taught me everything, took me under his wing there. So to share this moment with him and his family, who are all great people as well, is special.
Pretty great.
Okay, so our research team, this is not me, but they want to know, basketball over football. I think you made the right decision just overall. But what was that like? If when you're a two-sport athlete that can play one, what was it the deciding factor that was like, football is fun, but this is what I want to focus on, basketball?
I played football all my life, and I've loved it. And it was super hard to give up. That was one of the most emotional weeks I've ever had. But, I sat down with my dad, and we broke down the pros and cons and what it would look like in the future. And, we knew I had a real great chance to be sitting here right now in the position I am today. So ultimately, it came down to that.
I just hate these polished, perfect answers. Like, such a great answer.
But he's been like this. We've had him on the show many times before. He's been, this is not new for him.
No.
He has been like this.
No, he's one of the stars in this country. It's just so impressive hearing these answers, and it's just like, good for you, man. No. That was the right decision.
I appreciate it.
Well, we talked about how maybe your career path could emulate Richard's, but here's something you already have that he does not. Are you ready, Mr. RJ?
Well, there's a lot that he doesn't. Hair, good looks. There's a lot that this guy has.
On his Twitter bio, he shares that he is, in fact, a three-time gold medalist. Those are, of course, for your under-19, under-17, and under-16 days with Team USA. Richard, how did you medal when you were on Team USA?
Well, I won the bronze, and I was very, very proud of that. But, again, this is about him. Mm-hmm. This is about him.
And We're not worried about that.
We've got Team USA right now over in Tokyo. This is the beginning of your NBA career, but it also makes you eligible for Team USA coming down the road. Is that something that's on your goal sheet as you get through to being a pro?
Most definitely. You know, me, I love to win and win at the highest level. And all my USA basketball experiences have been great. You know, I've met people who have turned into my brothers, you know, and been brought into my family. You know, we're still extremely close to this day. So those trips, you know, always help me grow, you know, and learn the basketball player as a person. So, I mean, to get to the Olympics, you know, of course, is up there with NBA championship, you know, and things that I'd love to accomplish.
Who's the second best dressed guy out here outside of yourself?
I think all the guys are clean. I'm going to go with my guy, Scotty. I love his all white, the floral, and then he's got the bling to match with it.
So okay.
I think Scotty's great.
But no one's as sparkly. You got that locked up. Jalen, so thank you so much for joining us. It's been so fun talking to you all week and through this whole process. We cannot wait to see you shine evening.
I appreciate it.
The jump is across that bridge in Brooklyn on the red carpet ahead of tonight's NBA draft on ABC and ESPN. And we got some breaking news coming out of L.A. Adrian Wojnarowski tweeting Montrezl Harrell will opt into his deal for the purpose of being included along with Kyle Kuzma in a trade to Sacramento for Buddy Hield. So, Richard, let's just get your reaction to this deal. And I also want to welcome in Nick Friedell coming to us from California. Thanks for joining us today, Nick. Richard, why don't you start here?
Well, no. Again, this is a potential deal. It hasn't been confirmed, but I like this deal for both sides. I think Buddy Hield, the Lakers have been in desperate need of shooting, and Buddy Hield has been one of the best shooters since he came into this league. So I think for the Lakers, that's a great pickup. And for the Sacramento Kings, I think they needed more bodies. I think they needed some aggression. They needed some Amin, and I think that's what Montrezl Harrell brings. I think Kyle Kuzma has been waiting for an opportunity to prove to people that he is an 18 to 20 point scorer on a good team. So here he gets an opportunity to do that. So I think this is a positive move for both teams.
What do you think, Nick?
Richard, I'm with you. I think this really works for the Lakers because you get a guy like Hield in there, he can give that team a jolt that they did not have, certainly at times down the stretch. But I'm all the way out on Kuzma. I've seen enough. You said that he needs to be on a good team. He's going to Sacramento, potentially. So he can score a bunch of points, but you're not going to affect winning that much. I think Hield has a chance playing with LeBron and playing in that group to really be a difference maker. I am not in on Kuzma. I think Harrell's a nice piece, but I like this move for the Lakers if it goes through.
Well, look, Kuzma gives Sacramento some championship experience. He did win a title, right?
Yeah.
And Kuzma came into this season off of winning that title saying he didn't know what his role with the Lakers was. That was a little bit of a warning flag,
yeah,
right? So we talk about fit a lot, Richard, right? When you talk about his fit on the Lakers, whether that really happened with two guys, as he always said, I've got two guys ahead of me, Hall of Famers who play my position,
yeah,
so it was hard for him to figure out exactly where to go. What do you think he could do in Sacramento? And I want to get to the Lakers.
Well, first of all, don't make this as an endorsement of Kuzma. Why are you going to do that to me? That's not what I'm saying. I think when you see the difference between having Rondo and Bron as your point guard and Schroeder as your point guard, especially a lot of times with that second unit when Bron is out, I think that made Kuzma, you know, the scoring that Kuzma like maybe wanted might have been different, but we saw his rebounding go up. So I really think that Kuzma has an opportunity to prove to people what he's been saying to people. That's the point that I was trying to make.
Well, look, I want want to talk about it from the Lakers side as well. They need shooting. That's no secret. This past season, they were 25th in the league in made three-pointers. When we look at individuals with made three-pointers, the guy who ranked number one in the number of threes made is Steph Curry, of course. But number two was Buddy Hield. In fact, he is a career 40.6% three-point shooter. What do you think, Richard, that will add to the Lakers? Although, of course, you've got to look at the defensive side of the ball, too, anytime you bring someone in.
Yeah, well, the defensive side of the ball, especially when you're talking about the number one rated defensive team in the Lakers, so maybe you're able to hide him a little bit. If you can drop maybe down just a couple of spots because you're playing him big minutes, but his shooting, it gives the space that you need for LeBron to work. It gives the space that you need for Anthony Davis to work. And if he can be even remotely as consistent from the three-point shot that he has been since he came into this league, that's a huge asset for the Lakers.
I have to interrupt you because this is the time of the year where I read a lot of things off my phone. The draft, free agency. I'm going to read off my phone our Adrian Wojnarowski reporting. The Lakers are near a deal to acquire Washington's Russell Westbrook, friends, for Kuzma, Montrezl Harrell, KCP, and a 2021 first-round pick.
But what happened to Buddy Hield?
Kuzma. Well, look, the deal isn't that you just said it's not done yet.
But no one listens to me. Rachel.
All I'm going to say is Russell Westbrook, obviously an L.A. guy, huge, huge name value coming to the Lakers, former MVP. If that deal ends up going through instead, what do you think, Richard Jefferson?
Wow. Now, again, we talk about great fits for both teams. Like you talk about, obviously, these are role players. Now, Russell Westbrook, he is Russell Westbrook. Like, this man averaged a triple-double again. I think it was four out of the last five seasons.
Set the record this year.
Yeah, set the record all time. Now, this is going to be an interesting opportunity because we've talked about how much the Lakers needed shooting. Now, go back to that Houston Rockets series where the Lakers beat the Houston Rockets. What one of the Lakers' defensive things were they're going to double-team James Harden and stay at home in the shooters and make Russell Westbrook shoot.
Yep.
So now, all of a sudden, the Lakers, if that's the same formula, Russell Westbrook's either got to facilitate for everybody or make sure that he knocks down some shots. So I'm really curious to see that fit. Not from a talent standpoint, because we know Russ can play, but how it fits around Brown and AD.
I do think that his talent as a distributor is underrated. When we talk about triple-doubles, a big part, one of the columns of that is the assists.
Yes.
Right? And I think when people say, oh, he's just stat padding, those assists are made buckets for his teammates. Yes. And the Lakers certainly have been looking for someone who can put other guys in that position, a position to succeed. Nick, what do you think if this goes through? If this happens, they're not getting Buddy Hield in that 3% shooting we were just talking about.
But Rach, they're getting a guy who's going to be motivated as hell to show everybody that he can make it work in his hometown. And I think that is huge here for Westbrook because he hears all the criticisms the last few years. Oh, he can't be that guy that is a top-tier player on a title team. Well, now, in this case, he'd be playing with LeBron. He'd be playing with AD, and he'd be playing in a place that he has a huge comfort level in LA. So I think this is gigantic for Russell Westbrook. And if this one goes through, I think he is going to have a huge impact on the revitalization of a Lakers team that really looked tired and a little bit old at the end of the year.
Well, look, everyone who watches the show knows I am in on Russell Westbrook. I just think the value added. What? Why are you laughing at me?
Where's Bradley Beal going?
Well,
if Russell's gone, I'm sorry. Ladies and gentlemen, Golden State Warriors, congratulations. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. I'm joking.
Well,
I'm joking.
Sort of.
Kind of.
I was going to say, you know how in I am on Russell Westbrook.
Love him.
And the reason why I think he had such value to franchises is I do think he does a lot of things on the court that he doesn't get credit for, that his teammates will tell you make a difference. There's a reason Bradley Beal said it is his favorite. Russ was his favorite teammate he has ever had. And Bradley's had a lot of really elite teammates. So I think that factor and his fit in a locker room is great. And then just, and I know this is not a basketball thing, but his fit in the community is going to be exceptional if this deal goes through. He has already started a school in the Los Angeles area. And as Nick mentioned, his desire to do LA proud, I think, will make a difference.
And don't forget, when everybody say he's stat padding, understand, go look at his record, his team's record, when he gets a triple-double. So that's an impact,
whether defense, they win.
Winning percentage in those triple doubles is through the roof. So while there might be some elevated stats, it generates wins. And that's the most important things when it comes to stats.
My daughter is my world. I had it whenever I was 16, turning 17. From then on, I just had a different approach towards, you know, working towards what I wanted and making sure that I didn't waste any days. To actually look in the stands and see her up there, those are things that, you know, you don't lose those memories. She's always wanting to get in the water, so we got a little mini pool. Right now, frozen is her number one thing in the world right now. So I never knew how bad I needed a daughter and wanted a daughter until I had Riley. And now, I mean, she's everything I wanted.
Cade Cunningham, welcome to The Jump. We are so thrilled to have you here. I love those shots of you and your daughter. I mean, that is just amazing. Yeah. You are also tabbed as the number one overall pick tonight. Congratulations. We'll get to that in a minute. Yeah. But we just heard you talk about being a dad, and I do want to hit that first because it is so special. Richard, we know that that relationship, it changes you in your work, too. It makes you want to be a different person out there. So how has that affected you out on the court?
I think it's just giving me a different, you know, motivation, a different hunger. You know, to have a little person looking up to you and you know, relying on you to provide. I mean, I take that seriously, and I wanted to, you know, be serious about being a great father and being in her life. You know, little girls especially, you know, yep. You have to be a good father figure for them. So, I mean, it just added more fire to my, you know, whatever it is. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you see me got stuck.
You're like, no, I'm with you, man, because you don't know how to, it's like, yo, there's just something about seeing that little person right. That makes me want to be a better person, a better basketball player, everything.
It's
just
very
be greater.
Clarifying, yeah. Right? It teaches you what is important in life, and it clarifies right. For you. It kind of cuts out some of the extra noise, and that has, we have seen you use that and progress in a way that is so focused and so impressive. It's really fun to watch.
I appreciate it.
Speaking of, like, motivation and being impressive, like, what would be the significance of that number one pick? There's one every single year, and there's a fraternity. I remember hearing Kyrie talk about this, saying, like, you know, there's a fraternity to the number one pick. And he was talking about some other players. Obviously, I was not a part of that. But I was like, I never thought of that. There's a legitimate fraternity of the greatest players of all time that have gone number one. What would that mean?
I mean, it would mean a whole lot to me, and just – I feel like it would almost be a validation for the work that I put in. And, I mean, I think it would prove to me that, you know, work actually works. Like, you know, you have to put the time in if you want to reap the benefits of that. So, you know, I'm blessed to be in this position. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to, you know, put my family in a position that I'm going to be able to. But, I mean, to be in that fraternity, like you said, like, you know, there's a lot of responsibility that comes with it. And I feel like that's the main thing that I want to show to people is that, you know, I'm actually built for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It's funny. I have to keep being reminded of your age because you seem a whole lot older than 19. Anyone who spends time with you gets that sense from you that you are willing and mature enough to do the work. And it's going to be work. By definition, number one picks.
Yeah.
Don't tend to go to big championship teams, right? We've had a couple years where someone falls for a reason, but in general, it's a team that needs leadership. Right. You've talked about why you think you are a good fit for that Pistons team and could be a leader in Detroit. Why do you think that can really work when you look at what they've got on their roster?
You know, ever since I heard that Detroit had the number one pick, you know, I wanted to watch all of their games and just, you know, see who was on the team and learn as much as I could about the organization. Just because it's important to, you know the people around you and to be comfortable where you're at. And I want to uplift that organization as much as I can. I feel like that's, you know, the main job that I have is being the number one pick is to, you know, elevate the organization and contribute as much as I can. So, you know, Detroit has a lot of things going for them. You know, they have two all-rookie guys this last year. And, you know, I want to come in and only add to that and take another step forward.
First of all, they have an outstanding fan base. Pretty annoying when you're playing against them, but it's an outstanding outstanding fan base. But I want to talk to you about name, image, and likeness, right, the NIL. How do you think that would have changed your decision? Well, you know, obviously, whether it's the Ignite or, you know, now the kids can go and stay or go to school and make money. Would that have changed anything that you would have done? Or, like, do you think, how are you feeling about that situation, especially now that you're leaving it as it's starting?
I think it just goes back to being around the right people. I feel like Oklahoma State had the perfect people for me and where I was trying to get to. I feel like, you know, they pushed me. They didn't make anything easy on me, and they didn't, you know, make me feel like they were going to hand things to me. And it was just, you know, you're the top guy, so let's make this as simple and, you know, stress-free as possible for you. They really wanted to put me in stressful environments because they knew it would make me better. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, that's what I wanted going into college. That's what I wanted,
and my year between high school and the NBA, and I feel like I got that at Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
Well, we talked about that fraternity of past number one picks. Because we are old, I remember sitting with LeBron James when he was drafted, and he was so disappointed that Michael Jordan had just retired for the final time that year, that he wasn't going to get to go up and play against Michael Jordan. It was like by months he was missing it. What about you? Who are you most excited to go up and play against when you get into the league in this rookie season?
I think LeBron. LeBron is, you know.
That's the answer.
That's the guy. Like, I mean, I've been watching him since, you know, I was a kid, and I mean, he's been in the finals pretty much every year that I can remember. So, I mean, that's the guy that, you know, I've been idolizing, trying to take things from his game and add them to mine. So to be able to be on the same court as him and see it in person would be surreal. But, you know, I want to see where I stack up against all those guys, for sure.
Absolutely. Well, we were just talking in the previous segment, LeBron might have some new teammates coming in. It was great talking to Cade in the break. We're saying, this is what the NBA is like. These trades are going on.
He was sitting over there answering questions, and he sits down and is like, hey, you know, Russell Westbrook might be going to Lakers. He's like, wait, what?
Because, by the way, 5 minutes earlier, it was Buddy Hield, and you never know. So, welcome to the NBA. You are going to have a stellar career, and we can't wait to see you work.
Thank you all for having me on.
Thank you so much. Hillary. Look at this. New York City's looking fine, and we're on the other side of it in Brooklyn, getting ready for the NBA draft. I'm with Richard Jefferson. Clinton Yates is in the building. Guys, this is incredible. The Wizards may be making a major trade. Now, their GM, Tommy Shepard, said Bradley Beal has not requested a trade ahead of the draft. However, we are now seeing reporting from Adrian Wojnarowski that Russell Westbrook might be headed to L.A. And Woj is clarifying here. He says this is a trade Washington wants to make with Beal in mind, creating some salary cap flexibility for the future to add talent around him, sources tell ESPN. The idea of returning to his Los Angeles roots has meanwhile been appealing to Westbrook. Now, I would like everyone to look at Richard's face right now because I'm just
confused. Like, look, some things
and
are
look,
about.
There's the Clinton face. Clinton, my DC friend here. So, what are you confused about?
Well, I'm confused only because okay, the Westbrook situation, you know, didn't work out. They had COVID. They had injuries. There's a lot of things going on there. I think the biggest confusion here is that sometimes the worst place you can be in the NBA is just okay. You either want to be really bad with draft picks or you want to be really good. And I think the Washington Wizards have been just okay for a lot of years. It's okay to start over if you can get assets and build back up. But I think that's what they're doing, allegedly, possibly, with Westbrook. Why not just scrap the whole thing with Bradley Beal and just do this whole thing and get a ton of assets and build back up from the ground? That's my only confusion.
Clinton, do you buy that idea that Beal, they want to keep, or that Beal will want to stay without Russ, and that this is to clear some space and get some more assets around him?
I think Richard's got it exactly right. You've got to make a choice. You can't continually hedge, which is what the basic existence of this franchise has been for the past 25 years, which is why it was so aggravating when the Westbrook situation came by. If you're going to get rid of Westbrook, you should probably get rid of Beal. And listen, the other thing is this, RJ, I don't know that I trust the front office to be able to get the talent around them anyway, even if you have the assets.
Thank you.
That's kind of the problem here, is that, like, look, you got to make a choice. You build something or you don't. And you can't figure this out going in between, which is what they've done for basically my whole life.
Look, I was going to say, Clinton and I speak the same language because we grew up in the D.C. area, and there have been a lot of moments where you just have to say, okay. However, I will play devil's advocate here and say, if you are the Wizards front office and all you hear for 2 years is, we would love a Bradley Beal, the Warriors want Bradley Beal, so-and-so wants Bradley Beal, everyone would love to play with Bradley Beal, do you take a flyer on the fact that people will want to come play with Bradley Beal in Washington instead of somewhere else?
And this is not a knock on Bradley Beal, who was, you know, one game away from being, you know, the leading scorer, multiple-time All-Star, an outstanding player. In my opinion, I don't think Bradley Beal is a person that is attracting free agents to Washington. And so, and with that in mind, even though a lot of people want him, a lot of people might not want to go there. The team, he has never proven to carry a team. So why not just, like, not scrap it, but get all the assets? You have two high-level all-stars that a lot of people want. Why not get these assets and build back up? You look at what happened with James Harden left, and they got rid of Chris Paul, and they got rid of James Harden in Houston. They have a chance to get Jalen Green. You see what Michael Porter, with Kevin Porter Jr. is there. You got Christian Wood. You actually look like they're starting to build something again. again, I feel better building something than constantly keeping a hold of one all-star and then saying we're going to figure this out in the future, because it never happens.
Well, Clinton, I do want to ask you about Russ, because you have been keeping a close eye on him all season. He, of course, went to Houston one season. He was in D.C. one season. Now going to L.A., what kind of fit do you think he will be there?
I think he's actually a reasonable fit because he comes in as a veteran who knows about the league. They're not going to be looking to some third guy who they don't know who what they have, like a Kuzma, for example. At the very least with Westbrook, you know what you're getting as far as the veteran presence is concerned, never mind the game that he brings to the table. But overall, RJ, let me get back to the Wizards real quick. This whole keeping one star thing is the whole problem, okay? Let us get some guys with their lives in front of them, and then maybe people will start showing up to that arena again. The problem is that they're always trying to hang on to that one thing, and that never has worked out.
Oh, what a tangled web. What a tangled web. Clinton, thank you so much for joining us. I am just so grateful you could happen to be with us in the segment where all of this came up, because there is no one better to discuss that franchise.
Hi, Theodore.
We will be checking your Instagram all night. Everyone, be sure that you're subscribed there. Look at that. Brooklyn, New York is all set up for tonight's draft. 60 players are going to see their dreams come true just a little over 2 hours from now. And we got one more trade between Brooklyn and Phoenix, according to Woj. Brooklyn has traded guard Landry Shamet to Phoenix for Javon Carter and the 29th pick in tonight's draft. So, Richard, what do you think about Phoenix adding Shamet?
Well, I like the shooting. I know a lot of people are worried about, you know, are the Phoenix Suns going to be able to keep all of those young players together? And I'm not saying that this is like a security blanket, but it gives you some flexibility. You know, if you're not going to be able to sign Mikal Bridges, if Jay Crowder ends up moving on in a year or two. So I think, you know, start putting young assets around, because you need another shooter around Booker. You need shooting around DeAndre Ayton. So I think Landry Shamet's a good pickup.
All right, we have more news here, by the way. One more trade from Woj. Ricky Rubio, currently playing for Spain in the Olympics, by the way, heading to the Cavs along with a 2022 second-round pick for Taurean Prince, along with a little cash. Nick Friedell rejoining us now. What do you think this means for Colin Sexton and Darius Garland?
Right, the Cavs are just so sad. I mean, the Cavs are so sad.
Nick, why is it gotta be like that? This is a fun, nice night for all of the franchises.
No, it's not, because they're in Cleveland and they don't have LeBron. Richard knows this. That team is so far away. They're like 3 years away from being 3 years away. They are not very good, and I don't think they're gonna be good for a while.
Wait a second. You're going to leave my Cavs alone. This is what I'm going to say. I actually like it, because, look, you got Sexton, you got Garland. You want a veteran backup point guard. So as much as he's going to be mean, I'm going to say that you got to start building out a team. If you potentially, a lot of people have Evan Mobley picked to go there. You got Jared Allen. All of a sudden, you look like you have talent in multiple positions. So while you know, maybe they're the play-in game, maybe they're the eighth spot, you still got to build towards something versus nothing. And so I think this is a step towards building to something.
Also, he's a stabilizing presence in an organization. By the way, here is the suit of the night, or at least the shiniest
one. If you're not going to get the pants are what just make the suit.
You show him, Jalen.
You got to get the pants. He says he's
good.
Yeah.